This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Of the chains holding me.
Is anybody out there hearing me? Set me free.
Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us now in our sixth year. When we moved back to Phoenix in 2020, we began this show again, and I say again because actually it originally aired in 2005, 6, and 7 in Colorado Springs. So this is our second go around, and I thank you and I express my appreciation to you who have been listening and when you write in, and love to hear your comments. And I know some of you are listening in from other countries. We get emails from people in the UK or have gotten them in from New Zealand and other countries. So thank you for letting us know you're listening. And so for the past 30 years, surveys have shown that waves of youth have been exiting the church. I remember back in the 1990s, around 1996, I went to a Focus on the Family event in Colorado Springs. And back at that time, they said that 75% of youth were leaving the church, and as a father of four, I was mildly freaking out because that means you got a 3 in 4 chance of, you know, your kids not making it. That's horrible, especially when, you know, we're talking about eternity here. We're not just playing games. And sometimes I wonder, why is it we are not hearing this from the pulpit? Why aren't parents being warned that your kids are watching you and they're watching how you live out your faith? They're watching how you treat them. They're watching if you're actually reading the Bible and praying, or if you're just talking, or they're watching if you're a hypocrite or involved with things. And you're watching at an early age to see, is your faith really real? And parents need to be warned. And so if I was an owner of a big company, and you were telling me that 75% of your customers were walking out of the door every, whatever, 6 months to a year, I'd be like, oh my gosh, we're calling meetings here. There's going to be some heads rolling. Some people are going to get fired. We're going to be making a lot of radical changes immediately. We're not going to be screwing around and waiting around when you have this big of an exit. There'd be a total sense of urgency over this deal. But why isn't there any urgency over this from the pulpit? Why is it so rare, that very rare from my experience, that we hear a pastor getting up there saying, hey, we're in a crisis right now because we're losing our youth? And at the same time, recently, maybe the past 6 months, maybe the past year, there have been articles and these signs of a possible, what they're calling a quiet revival in youth. And I've seen articles saying that youth are hungry for more than what they're getting. And I'm going to read from an article here from June of 2025. This is from Ken Ham. And the title is, Why Do 70% of Young People Leave the Church in College? And he writes, I've often shared the statistic that 2/3 of young people will leave the church by the time they reach college age, and very few return. I was reminded of this recently when I saw a post someone shared on social media that said that 70 to 88% of youth born in evangelical homes leave the faith after 1 year in a secular college. So that's a wipeout. You send your kids to college, and the chances of them returning to the faith are very small. And then he writes, maybe we should start to focus on more doctrine, more ability to explain what and why we believe, and less performance, less trend, less show, and less entertainment. And I would apply that to the adults too. But I would say that doesn't go far enough, because you need more than just the doctrine. You also need to know how to have a passionate love relationship with the Lord, and that doesn't come from the Bible alone. It also comes from lighting up your prayer life and going after God hard all of your life. And we're not teaching people how to pray. And I can tell you that for certain, because people come to us for help. A lot of them do not have a strong, effective prayer life. And Michael Youssef, on his website, Leading the Way, states that Christians pray on average 5 minutes a day. That is not a vital prayer life, an effective prayer life. And the early church was devoted to what? Not just the teaching, but also to prayer and to fellowship. And most Christians are not connected to another tribe of believers. Most Christians are doing this, winging this on their own. So far be it for me to talk about youth alone, because we need to get into the head of youth to find out what they're thinking. So today I have with me two of my adult offspring. I won't say the word children, because one of them is 10 times bigger than I am. Sean is my oldest. He is 31 years old. He's 6'5". And welcome back to the program, Sean.
Thank you for having me.
He's like a big horse. He could be a football player. And then there's Rebecca. You've heard her recently on the show, too. She's 23 years old, and she works for us at Blazing Grace. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So, Sean, let's start with you. When you hear all the things that I just went over, what goes through your mind?
Something needs to change within the church. They need to change how they're doing. People have become complacent, and a lot of pastors and churches will tend to stick with what's comfortable rather than with what's effective, and often what is effective is often painful.
So let's talk about what Ken Ham talked about, the large numbers of youth dropping out after just 1 year in college. Did you see some of that as you were growing up?
Yeah, I saw a lot of that. Most of the people that I went to school with, and it was a Christian school, the moment they entered college, they walked away from the faith because they just didn't seem to have a background for it. Maybe it's just because when you're in a Christian school, the Bible's taught like any other subject, so it's just memorization rather than taking it to heart. But yeah, you just didn't see a strong connection to the Lord in many of the people I went to school with.
And for our listeners' benefit, you were in Christian school from kindergarten through 12th grade, right?
That's correct.
And you had a lot of friends there, right?
That's right.
Can you tell us some stories of people you know, what you saw?
Well, even in the school, just because they went there doesn't mean they were Christian. One kid got caught smoking pot, and there was another time they had the police walking the dogs down the hall checking for drugs, so just being in a Christian school was no indicator of how connected they were to God or the love of the Lord. And I had some friends that often got in a fight with their parents or used curse words. Just going to a Christian school did not make you a Christian.
How about some stories of people who you know who were good friends who walked away from the faith?
I've had another friend of mine get married, and then he stopped going to church, stopped connecting, and then he walked away from the faith. I've seen other people start posting pronouns that you wouldn't have think they'd fall for that nonsense, especially with how rigid the school was with biology, with their instructions and teachings.
Mm-hmm. And I know you had one good friend who even came to our house who ended up being from a doctor, and you told me he walked away recently.
Yeah, that's right. He said science can explain everything, so why do we need God? And yeah, he ended up turning away, which was very tragic to see because he could have been a strong Christian.
Mm. And when you say you saw friends posting pronouns, be a little more descriptive. What does that mean? What does that look like?
Sure. So they would post, you'd go on their LinkedIn pages or their Facebooks and they'd have they/them listed next to their name, that sort of thing.
Mm. So how many of them is in there?
Too many.
So, Rebecca, what have you seen? And what, first off, what goes through your mind with the introduction?
Well, with universities, I've heard stories that they force an ideology, and if you go against that, you fail the class. Hmm. So if you're getting forced this ideology, it's not surprising if you go in conservative or in its liberal ideology, you know, you have to conform to that or you'll get a bad grade. So right there, right then and there, it's already a corrupt system because you can't have any conversation with that. It's just you have to follow our way or you can't make it. And I think that's with maybe some churches too. Because they want to conform to everyone's comfort, like Sean said earlier. And I saw some people like that in my high school, in my grade. I had a smaller grade, so I'm not too connected with a lot of people. But what I did see was a few of them, they came out as gay or, like Sean said, used different pronouns and or have just completely walked away. You can just tell that they didn't really have a relationship. Like he said, I've heard people say, like, I'm not a Christian and I'm at a Christian school. Like, parents probably just wanted them to have a better option in public. But I also heard stories from people in my class who went to public school before and said that the Christian school was more judgmental than public school. And they felt more shamed because, you know, we're Christians, we're better than you type of conversations.
Well, the judgmental thing could kind of go two different ways. One way it can go is, you know, you're being harsh on me and I'm still learning. And the other way it could be like, I don't want you telling me that I'm wrong because I want to live my life my way. What is your take on that?
Probably a little bit of that or just kids being kids to each other and, you know, oh, you're not a Christian? Oh, why are you here then? Stuff like that, or just typical bullying, but in a different way, I think. More of like, I'm not too sure how to describe it, but I think it can go both ways, like you said.
Yeah, and judgmental is a big buzzword today, so people can come off like, hey, you're judging me. So if I'm out going out binging on porn once a day, and if I'm sleeping around with women and I'm not married, somebody needs to come down to me and say, hey, this is wrong. Mm. And if I come up with it, don't judge me garbage, all I'm really doing is saying, I don't want you getting in my face and telling me that I'm sinning. But then there's the other side, you know, the pharisaical hypocrite who just likes to ream people. So I think we have to kind of watch both sides of that line.
Right.
And sometimes in our culture where me is God, nobody's going to tell me what to do.
Yeah, that's everywhere where everyone can have their own truth, which makes no sense because then what is truth? If everyone has their own, it just is mind-boggling and doesn't make any sense.
So really what is kind of coming out here is that youth, as soon as they get into college, you could be talking about an 18 or a 19-year-old, they have to take a stand for their faith immediately. Is that right?
Yeah, they kind of have to risk some things to do it as well. Because you could be dropped out of class if you have a liberal teacher who doesn't want to hear any of that and they want what they want to hear because it's different or, yeah, so they do have to be risky and stand up for themselves.
So, Sean, going through 12 grades of Christian school, were you prepared for something like that, to have to stand up for your faith as soon as you get out of the chute?
Yes, I absolutely was. The first place I moved out to was quite a spiritual roller coaster as far as my roommates go. I ended up living with a Satanist. I ended up living with a guy who was had a child out of wedlock, and they had a very abusive relationship where he would hold the baby drunk, and there were a lot of drugs in that house that should be nowhere near a kid. It was quite a shocking experience to have coming right out of high school, but it really was a crucible, and the way I got through it was just through a lot of prayer, through getting involved with young adults groups, so that I could have them praying for me, and I'm sure you were praying for me as well. And that living experience was just about as college as it gets, because there were a lot of women going through that house as well. There were some wild experiences during that time. I remember one of the roommates was showing me this video of, he called it scrap music, and then he showed me this music video of this guy who looked demon-possessed stalking another person, like he's going to kill them with demonic eyes. And then when the video was over, he looked at me and he said, "That's wild, huh?" I was like, "Yeah, that's wild." Not in the way he thought. That was definitely a chance for my relationship with God to be strengthened.
We got to hear the shot glass story.
No.
The shot glass story?
Shot glass in the bathroom.
Oh. that story. Well, one of my roommates was asking me for a urine sample so he could get hired at a job, because he's doing so much marijuana and I assume other drugs as well. I wasn't particularly thrilled with the idea of helping him cheat the system, but I thought if he gets a job, that's a good thing, right? So I agreed to it. So he gave me a little shooter bottle to put the urine sample in. And so I did. And he said, "Just leave it in the bathroom and I'll take care of it later." And the landlord's girlfriend ended up going in there and taking the shooter bottle. And she didn't think there was urine in there. So she ended up consuming a little bit of it before realizing it.
So she thought it was alcohol.
Yes.
And I just bring that up to show the desperation and how far we can drop when we're in that place where, and I did a lot of drugs and alcohol when I was a kid, and it was a horrible place to be. And yes, some of this is funny, or could be, but really it's tragic, isn't it?
Oh, it's very tragic. I felt so bad for both the girlfriend and that child that grew up in those living circumstances. What chance does he have at any shot of a normal life?
Mm. And if I remember right, you told me you were having a hard time sleeping for a while in that environment with the Satanist when he was living there?
Yes, that Satanist would blast music. He would take his skateboard and he would bang it against the walls. I wore headphones so deep in my eardrums that I gave myself tinnitus trying to get some sleep.
Hmm. So when was the turning point when you started sleeping better then?
So eventually the Satanist was driving everyone there nuts, and the landlord got a restraining order against him because he was doing LSD, and he was doing crazy wild things. He would put peanut butter on Bibles. He would dump cereal on cars. So the landlord was able to get the restraining order. Eventually, a couple weeks later, that same Satanist ended up breaking in the backyard looking for a stash of LSD, and we chased him off, but it was kind of a harrowing experience.
Mm. And the thing to realize, moms and dads and everyone really, is the occult has gone mainstream, and it's everywhere, and witchcraft has exploded, in this country. Reportedly, there were an estimated 8,000 witches in the U.S. around 25 years ago. Today, there are estimated to be more than 1.5 million. And who are they recruiting? They're recruiting youth. And this story that Sean just shared is just one little snapshot. And I remember back in the, I think it was back in the late 80s, the high school I attended, I heard they were having a Satanist club. Used to have clubs, you know, constructive things. And so this is widespread, and we cannot shove our heads down the sand and pretend that, you know, our sweet little Jimmy is not going to be exposed to this stuff. And I remember we had coffee at a place in Arizona, and we sat down, and right next to us a table with women who, young women, who were looking at tarot cards. So they, it was pretty evident that they were into the occult. And this is all over, and this is the environment our youth are being thrust into. And so we cannot sit there and just give our kids a grade school level, you know, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, without equipping them for the intense battles. And Sean, that was some pretty intense stuff you were right up against, right?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that to be my first place coming out of high school. Quite the shock.
So I'm sure you got an indoctrination into spiritual warfare pretty hardcore, right?
Right off the gate.
And do you hear much about spiritual warfare when you're in youth groups, both of you? Becca, I'll start with you.
Not too much. I feel like some people are starting to talk more about it, but it's not common, I'll say that.
Define not common. Heard it once a year or?
Probably, yeah. Like maybe a couple months out of the year, but not like keeping up regularly. Like, how are you doing with warfare? Let's continue to protect ourselves and in prayer and all that.
Do you mean kind of a light touch? I mean, yeah. You're equipped in your authority in Christ and how to use prayer and how to overcome in battles?
Right. If they talk about spiritual warfare, it's just their spiritual warfare and, you know, we're against flesh and blood and all that. But I don't think anything deeper than that, just talking about it, really.
Just kind of skimming the top.
Right.
And what would a skimming the top done for you in the circumstances you were in, Sean?
If I just had a very casual belief in Christ, then I probably would have taken part of the drugs and the other activities there. So yes, talking about spiritual warfare is very important.
Well, and you had another big time temptation when you were there. You had a girl crawl under your bed who wasn't wearing any clothes, right?
Yeah, she was in one-night stand for the Satanist roommate. She got so drunk, she got confused on which room to go into. So she crawled into my bed naked. I was asleep, and this was about midnight. And I woke up, and I thought the neighbor's dog was in my bed until I woke up and realized that she was in mine. So I woke her up, and then and she left the room. But that was not something I needed at midnight or any time.
So, my friends, I really want to leave you with this. This is the environment our youth are getting tossed into, and we can't pretend this isn't happening. And then our kids are getting wiped out. And yeah, it's grateful to see there's a lot of youth come into Christ from what I read, and that's fantastic. But the hard question has to be asked: after they come to Christ, then what? Are they going to be equipped? Are we going to train them in spiritual warfare? Are we going to show them how to have an effective prayer life? Are we going to help them see that they have to stand up immediately if the enemy is coming after them immediately? So, Becca, give me 30 seconds. Anything you want to say?
Stand firm, like we've talked about. Don't back down from your faith, because that's going to last eternity. None of this matters here on earth.
Sean, 20 seconds.
If you have kids, check in with them, see what they're learning, probe them and ask them. Don't treat having kids as like having a checklist. Just because you put them in church in a Christian school doesn't mean they'll turn out well. but really get to know them well, know their beliefs well, and set the example for them. Pray in front of them when with them, and they will adopt your ways.
All right. Thank you, my friends. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time, and we will continue this conversation.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.